So, Clayton, that song, Spirit of the Living God, I wrote it down. It changes, being with God changes what we see and what we seek. Like, that's it. That's the deal. Spending time with God and deepening a relationship with God will change how you see the world, and it will change what you're looking for. I mean, that's it right there. And so today we're going to talk about that a little bit under the context of what is the joy that we have at Bethel, and we've been in a couple of different places, but we add on to that today. The past couple of weeks, we talked the fact that church can be like the TV show Cheers, that it should be a place of welcome, a place where eventually everybody knows your name. Place where you share your troubles. And if you stick around long enough, you actually get to know people so well that they become your friends. Not only brothers and sisters in Christ, but people you can depend on. And then you learn that God is a friend too. And it might even make you break out into song like the Golden Girls theme, where you say, "Thank you for being a friend." As I was getting ready this week to talk to you a little bit, I came to this really kind of terrible realization, is that I watched way too much television as a kid. I mean, that is where we're at this point, because everything reminds me of a TV show, right? Because here's the deal. In my house, growing up, we only had three channels, the major networks, and the biggest TV in the house was in the kitchen. We had an eat-in kitchen. It was a big old farmhouse, and there was the kitchen table, there was the TV stand, and this big TV set that literally was so close it was like an extra guest at the dinner table. Seriously. And so we would eat dinner, and we would always watch Walter Cronkite, CBS Evening News. Yeah, I know some of you might have been, you know, Sam Donaldson fans or Ted Koppel fans, but we were a Walter Cronkite house. And at 5:30, we would watch the evening news during the dinner hour, into the local news at 6, and then reruns of The Muppet Show at 6:30. Like, that was our life in a nutshell. And sometimes we would finish dinner and get things put away, and we might go do a couple things, but we'd end up coming back to the kitchen table and watching more TV. Now, the deal is, though, it was a good thing that my parents forced me to watch the news without complaining, because I learned, even at a young age, what was going on in our country and around the world, and this enlightened kid always got A's in social studies and current events because of that. Math, not so much. Matter of fact, even as a kid, I remember us watching both the Republican and Democratic National Conventions when they were on every 4 years, and because we only had the three major networks back then, that's all they showed, so that's what we watched. It didn't make any difference which channel you were on. We watched both party conventions as they unfolded, and we talked about those things. And as I'm thinking about this kind of transfer of knowledge, I'm reminded of a quote by Benjamin Franklin, who said, "An investment in knowledge pays the best interest." Let me read that again. "An investment in knowledge pays the best interest. It is true in life, and it is certainly true in the church." When we've been talking about how do you increase the joy in your life, we've said at Bethel there's five distinct ways to increase joy. And matter of fact, it's not just kind of pick or choose. It's almost like an increasing joy. And I want to just show you a graphic here to explain, is that at one point in your life in this church, you showed up for the first time and you were welcomed, and that brought a certain amount of joy that made you come back, right? And then from there, as you kept coming back, you got to know people. Maybe you were even born and raised in this church, but even in that, you got to know people as you grew up. And you shared life together, ups and downs. That you learn that there is a God who cares and loves you, and you embraced the joy of being in Christ-centered community. And I hope that at some point in your life, that as you're walking with God and with these people, you might say to yourself, "Well, I really need to know more about God. I want to know what this God we follow is all about. What is God like, and what does it mean to be a Christian in the 21st century? And to take that next step, if you're willing to engage in it, and some of you have, I know you have, is to once again increase the joy in your life. Because spiritual growth is a step that will actually show you how important our relationships are. That to see that we have a God who loves us beyond, dare I say it on Mother's Day, that loves us beyond a mother's love. And that's hard to believe. But as we take the next step to increase joy in our life, you might be surprised to know that spiritual growth or discipleship has nothing to do with knowledge. It's a byproduct of spiritual growth, as a matter of fact, but it is not the main thing when we talk about growing and understanding who God is and who we are together. What I'm saying is if you could memorize the Bible, top to bottom, and you could recite chapter and verse just on call. If somebody shouted out a verse and you could just recite it, it may mean you have a photographic memory, but it isn't spiritual growth. If you are really good at telling people what their sin is and what's wrong with the world, that is not discipleship. Let me define for you what it is. Spiritual growth is discovering the will of God, not only for yourself, but for the world around you. And when you find that, going back to that chorus line, it will change what you see, and it'll also change what you seek in the world. See, when a person discovers it, it's not about knowledge at all. It's a way of living. And of course, when we think about the primary source to discover the will of God, we go right to the Bible. We go right to Scripture. Yeah, there's many resources out there, but if they're Christian, they always refer back to the main thing, to the story of God and God's people contained in the Scriptures. But we don't study it to memorize it. We're not biblical study professors or anything like that. We read it to discover the will of God. And I will tell you very clearly, it matters how we read the Bible. It matters with what eyes we lay on and what we're trying to get out of it. And I will tell you that opinion will get us nowhere. Everybody has an opinion on God. We could go and survey the neighborhood and beyond, and everybody will have an opinion on God, whether they believe or not. This is not about opinion. When we talk about the importance of Scripture, even Jesus says to us, do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. He's talking about the written word. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. So even Jesus points the importance of Scripture as a reference point for his very own ministry, the Son of God, and that instruction actually still stands for us today until everything is accomplished. Now, some folks would say, well, in Jesus' death and resurrection, everything was accomplished, so it doesn't necessarily apply to us anymore. But it's clear to this guy that if you look around, that until we get to heaven or Christ comes back, not everything is completed. I think it's fairly safe to say when we look around, the world's a broken place, and we still need direction. And that's the only place that I can go to find direction, is informed by what's happening in Scripture. And so the Bible will help us navigate the ups and downs of life. And then when you add that, this process that we've been talking about is we also have each other. We have God, and we now have His book. We put those things together, and it's like, oh, we're going to be equipped to walk through life together. Which, of course, reminds me of another TV show, right? You know, this one is from the early 80s. It's a guy by the name of Ralph Hinckley. And Ralph is a Los Angeles high school teacher who teaches, probably better I have to say, a classroom of alternative students. They've struggled in normal, everyday kind of stuff, right? And in that, he is a nice guy. He's got a noble profession. Everybody likes him. His students give him a hard time. And in the opening episode of this series, he goes out to the desert on a field trip. And when he does, he encounters, of all things, aliens who give him a superhero suit. And he has the superhero suit, and he has instructions, right? And he goes to try on the suit, and he's playing around with it, and he loses the instruction manual. So the next three seasons of this TV show is him trying to figure out how to use the suit, but he remembers the instructions that he is supposed to collaborate with a special agent from the FBI by the name of Bill Maxwell, and that they were supposed to work together to fight crime and injustice. Does anybody know the TV show? It's The Greatest American Hero. ABC. It's one of my favorites, you know, when I was a teen. Now, here's the thing. There were times when he struggled to, he always wanted to do the right thing, but he bumbled because he didn't have the instruction manual how to use the suit. And I think to myself, when we want to grow spiritually and we don't refer back to Scripture, we don't use that as a guide, we're going to bumble around too. We're going to get some things right. We're going to get some things wrong. And it's like trying to thread a needle in the dark, and you're never quite sure if you got it right, but you're going to keep trying. With that said, if we actually spend some time digging into the story, you know what we find in terms of discovering God's will? We find some really interesting things. We find out that God created a universe and a world in which to love something. That when humans rebelled against that love, God kept loving. That God chose a family headed by Abraham so that he could build a nation to love. And then when his people were enslaved by Egypt, God sent Moses to secure their release because he cared for them. When they needed to enter the promised land, God sent them a new leader, Joshua, who would be faithful and strong to help them do that. Later on, much later on, when the people of God forgot about the love of God, and they went their own way, they were sent into exile, but God promised that he would bring them back because God never gives up on his people. And then, at just the right time, at the perfect time, God sent himself in the person of Jesus to show his love yet again and to share with us and to tell us that nothing, not even our selfishness, can ever separate us from the love of God. By the way, when Jesus said, "I've come to fulfill the law and the prophets," the fulfillment of those things is love. So a part of discovering God's will is actually just tied to us. That God won't leave us alone. God won't stop loving us. Even though we try really hard to escape, we can't escape this love. And that's a part of God's will, that he won't leave us alone. Now, Paul, St. Paul of the New Testament, he was writing Timothy, and he put it this way. He said, you know, God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. I mean, that's just fancy Bible talk for God wants everybody to be in a relationship with him, and Jesus is the proof of that. Because the knowledge of the truth is about God loves us and he won't let us go. Wow. Now, within that same story, God's story and God's people, you see a second plot line running through it. And this is what you would discover. God gives Adam Eve. God gives Jacob 12 sons. God gives Moses an entire people. God gives King David his mighty men. God gives Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You see that even God gives Jesus, his son, 12 disciples. And then God gives us each other, the gift of the church. How about that? spiritual growth happens when we draw close to God and to each other. There's no amount of knowledge that can make that happen. It's about matters of heart. And so using Jesus as an example, that we also treat others the way that he has dealt so graciously with us, living out the will of God amongst each other might look like what Paul said to the church in Ephesus. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. See, we can be instructed, we can be told that we should do this, but that's all intellectual, that's up here. Spiritual growth happens when it moves from our head down to our heart. Not as something you have to do, but something that you want to do. And when we learn and live it, we experience the joy of being gracious and kind and even connected to one another. But here's the deal. It's just the beginning. There's no way I can preach one sermon and say, that's spiritual growth and that's it. It's because when we just take that as a framework and then we apply that to the critical issues of our day. How do we, and we talked about this in between services, how do we care for the poor? How do we care and advocate for those who have pre-existing conditions? How do we deal with white privilege and racism in America? How do we deal with any of these larger issues and we put this knowledge of how do we be connected and how do we love and care for people? That's just the beginning. And the opposite is true, too, is that when we look at a thing outside of ourselves, outside the church, and we don't respond in judgment and in hate, you know what happens? God gets even closer. Wow. So like I said, this comes back to this TV show, Greatest American Hero, which reminds me of the theme song. And you guys have once again said, we'll do that. So you need to hear the song because you just need to hear the song. I think you might know it if you listen to any popular radio in the 80s.
Look at what's happened to me. I can't believe in myself. Suddenly I'm up on top of the world. It could have been somebody else. Believe it or not, I'm walking on air. I never thought I could feel so free. Flying away on a wing and a prayer. Who could it be? Believe it or not, it's just me. So free, flying away on a wing and a prayer. Who could it be? Believe it or not, it's just me.
So think about this, is that when we live within God's will, to not just understand, but to feel the love of God and the love that we have with one another, we feel like we're on top of the world, like we're walking on air, feeling so free. But yet, believe it or not, it's just me. It's just you. It's just us walking with God. Amen.